Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
It is indeed. This week we talked about an array of topics, as I discussed before, mainly the Pike River Mine re-entry, the victims hui, which is coming up next week, as well as relations with Australia, especially concerning deportation and New Zealanders' rights in Australia.
Yeah, this is what I'm calling it, a victims' workshop. So this comes out of the Criminal Justice Summit that I held last year, in August last year. The Criminal Justice Summit brought together all sort of stakeholders in the criminal justice system, including victims. What came out of that was that the people representing victims wanted their own opportunity to talk about the issues as they affect them. So next Monday and Tuesday in Wellington, we've got about 130 people meeting. So there'll be representatives of victims, victims advocates, victims themselves, support services that deal with victims of criminal offending, coming together and talking about some of the issues that they have with the system, what can be improved, of what's working well and could be enhanced. So it'll go over 2 days. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great opportunity to talk about it. You know, we talk about what we need to do to reduce offending and deal with offenders, but actually the other part of the equation is what we're doing to make the whole criminal justice system more responsive to the needs of victims.
For victims or survivors of crime and violence who find it hard to verbalise or talk about their experiences, are there alternative ways within this workshop in which they can express their past and or feelings about how the criminal justice system can be reformed?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we know is that there's a lot of victims of crime. Actually, that whole thing about giving a statement to the police, giving evidence, being cross-examined is a huge issue. So they, you know, actually getting the factual information out. So one of the things, one of the topics for discussion is exactly what sort of help and support is needed right from the outset. If you're dealing with somebody who's been traumatised, who's been a victim of very serious offending, how is it that they get the support they need so that the information they're providing the police and the court system is going to be the best information possible? And then, of course, there's the recovery process as well, and you know, people needing help and support to recover from the trauma of offending. For some, that could be months. For others, it could be years, but that support needs to be there.
How do we ensure workshops like this are safe spaces for everyone involved?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, this has been put together by the Chief Victims Advisor to the Government, Dr. Kim McGregor, and she's had a group of people, victims advocates and others, have been working with her to make sure that, you know, the issue about safety and personal safety is foremost in terms of the format that the workshop is delivered in, you know, how people get to speak and so on. So all of those things have been very, you know, close attention has been paid to those sorts of things. Like, I think it's going to be a good meeting.
So will this work hand in hand with the strengthening the criminal justice system for victims and survivors of crime survey?
Yes, definitely, yeah. And that survey is really a kind of a lead up to the workshop. We hope to have some of the preliminary results from that survey that we'll present at the victims workshop. But it goes hand in hand with the other work that's come out of the Criminal Justice Summit. We've also got, in April, we've got the Hui Māori, so Māori organisations and advocates and interests come together to talk specifically about the criminal justice system from their perspective. All of this stuff is going to feed into the report that the advisory group Te Upu puts together for me as we consider the next steps for reform of our criminal justice system.
Sometimes in workshops and hui like this, or consultation processes, not everything that is discussed in the process or workshop is taken on board. How do you decide what you take away from hui like this?
I think what participants will see is that whatever issues are raised, look, a record will be kept of that, and they'll see that. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what the advisory group, what they get out of it, what they decide to include in their package of reform measures, and then which then comes to me. And then it's going to be a political judgment about what changes get made and at what pace. And so there may be good ideas that come forward, but we don't do those sorts of things straight away. They may be two or three or more years away yet. So I think people will see that their ideas and suggestions are acknowledged and recorded, but whether they, you know, a specific proposal is implemented straight away, that's another question entirely.
So who makes up this advisory panel?
It's chaired by Chester Burrows, former National Party MP, Deputy Speaker. If I start listing names, I'll miss some out. But it's people who are involved in the criminal justice sector or academics studying it. It's 50% Māori representation because 50% of the people in prison are Māori. So it draws on a number of strengths. There's, you know, younger representatives on it. People have been around a long time in the field dealing with these sorts of issues. So it's quite a broad cross-section of people. There's Ruth Money is the victim's advocate, well-known victim's advocate. She's on it. So there's a range of people on it. Frontline barristers on it. A few people.
I talked to the head of victim support earlier this week, and he mentioned that they were also doing a qualitative survey. When you're running workshops like this and looking for reforms in the justice system, do you often take submissions or look at other people's non-governmental surveys and research on the issues?
Oh, totally, yeah. And there's a lot of research that goes into informing the topics for discussion. And I look at that work that victim support is doing is very important. I've done a report recently just about the things that are working well, the things that aren't working so well. All of that stuff gets fed into these workshops. So quite a lot of information made available to participants before they get there.
So you met with the project manager, I believe it's Lloyd Stewart, about the plan for re-entry into Pike River Mine. Can you tell me a bit more about that meeting?
Oh, look, I just made a routine visit down to Pike River site. There's been quite a bit of progress made on preparations to start the re-entry project. Lloyd is the project manager. I was there with the chief executive, Dave Gorn, and a variety of other personnel. But I actually went into there's quite a big the area where the mine is, a very bushy area. They've had to lay some line the nitrogen lines. It's been quite a complex task. So I sort of roved around the hillside, pretty challenging terrain, to have a look at that, look at the science and the engineering and the technology that's going into the project. It is quite sophisticated, and this is all about making sure that when folks go back into the mine tunnel or the drift, that it is safe, the atmosphere is safe. To get the atmosphere safe is quite a complicated task, and all this technology that's been installed on the hillside there is all about making sure that that can happen. So it was a chance to see all that, and we're weeks away from actually getting people back into the tunnel to start that job of finding out what is there and finding out to the best extent we can what the causes of the original explosion were.
Home Affairs Minister in Australia, obviously Peter Dutton, set up an inquiry earlier last year, and the recommendations have just been released for it, about the interrelationships between New Zealanders and the Australian legal system, especially looking at deportation appeals. And it suggests that perhaps New Zealanders should be given special treatment in Australian deportation appeals, especially in the cases of, I believe it's called, character visa cancellations. Do you believe that we should have a special relationship with Australia that is different to our relationship with any other countries and issues like this?
I think the issue is that a lot of New Zealanders who go to Australia go there under what's called a special category visa. It's unique to New Zealanders. What it means is they pretty much get everything they would get as if they were a permanent resident or a citizen. And it's for that reason that New Zealanders typically don't apply for citizenship of Australia, even if they've been there for a while. Getting citizenship is difficult anyway, but what's the point when you're pretty much getting everything that you'd otherwise get? However, Australia also has these Migration Act, which allows them to deport a person who's not a citizen on various grounds. One is if they've got a criminal conviction and served a sentence. The other is two general grounds. One is a character, you know, you're not regarded as a, you know, good and decent person. And the other is if you are regarded as compromising the safety of Australia, whatever that means. And a lot of New Zealanders are being deported from Australia back to New Zealand under those categories. And a lot of those who are being deported are people who went over as children or who were born to New Zealand parents and therefore got New Zealand citizenship and have never lived in New Zealand at all. And I think a lot of Australians are saying, hold on, there's something wrong here. Of course, somebody who goes over as an adult and commits an offence offends against Australia should be deported back, because that's what we do to anybody else who comes to New Zealand. But somebody who's lived all their life since childhood in Australia and who goes off the rails, if it comes to a question of deportation, their real home is Australia. And I think that report is saying that should be given much greater consideration than it is at the moment.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.